Good morning again, church family. I want to invite you to stand with me, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word. Today, we are in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. So we are in the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus speaking in the passage. And we read, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And if you'll remain standing with me, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We do not know what we would do without your word to us. Lord, we thank you for the care that was taken into supplying your word to us, all of the translators. Lord, all of the pain and trouble that went into putting it into writing, we just thank you for your word, even for the fact that it's in English and that we have a chance to read it in the language that we primarily speak. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to understand what it is you want to say to us today. Lord, I can only do so much. Lord, we need your Spirit. These words were written and inspired by your Spirit. And so we can only understand them by your Spirit, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak your word into our hearts and minds today. Challenge us, encourage us, move us. Help us to consider things that we haven't considered before for your sake, Lord, because they're your words to us, and we want to hear you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, church, again, we are in a series right now called Rhythms of Grace. Rhythms of Grace, we're going through this sermon series because we've been talking about being a disciple of Jesus. Discipleship is centered around the goals of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus did. Now, when we say that, that sounds kind of vague, right? Well, what are ways that I can be with Jesus? What are things that I could do that could help me to become like Jesus? How can I live a life that will help me to more and more do the things that Jesus did, or to do what Jesus would do if he was in my shoes, if he was in my job, if he had my kids, if he had my parents? And so thankfully, as we look at the life of Jesus, we find that there are certain rhythms within his life, practices that he practiced that we can take into our own lives, and that we can learn from for the sake of, not just for the sake of doing those things, but for the sake of being with him, becoming like him, and doing what he did. I want to remind you, that is the goal behind what we're talking about in this series. God, what is grace? It's God's loving kindness. It's his activity within us and around us. And so we build our lives as followers of Jesus around these rhythms where we experience God's activity, God's care, God's love and God's kindness. Now, last week we talked about Sabbath rest. And Sabbath is one of those subjects that, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us have this sense of, yes, I love talking about rest. I love talking about stopping from my work. I know for some of us that's hard, but for a lot of us that's a lot of fun. Today we're talking about fasting. Now, fasting is a practice that we generally do not hear about in the Christian church, right? I don't know about you, but personally, I have not really heard in person a lot of sermons about fasting. The problem is I see it plastered all over the Bible. Fasting is everywhere in Scripture, but we've largely dropped it as believers in Jesus. Not because we think it's bad, but we just think, I don't know what the point of it is. Like, if any of us try fasting, don't you think, okay, I'll do it, but I don't know why I'm doing this. And hey, fasting is asking a lot of me. What is fasting? Fasting, according to Scripture, is when you give up food for a period of time for a spiritual purpose. And we have a lot of fasting in America that is for physical purposes, and that's good. I personally practice intermittent fasting for physical reasons, because I have diabetes, because I believe that it helps me physically. But a lot of times we don't even talk about the spiritual practice of going without food for the sake of our spirits. And so we think, well, why do I need that? What is that for? How do I practice that? Church, today I cannot give you a full, expansive answer to all of those questions. Today is just kind of an introduction to fasting. Hopefully, for lack of a better term, it whets your appetite for fasting. Hopefully this kind of gets you excited to, hey, this is not just about not eating food. This is about something so much more. Now, what is fasting? What is fasting? In Scripture, we find all throughout history, all throughout Scripture, what's the first time we see fasting practiced in Scripture? We see fasting practiced with Moses, and then all the way until Jesus. And then in the book of Acts, we see the disciples fasting. So all throughout Scripture, we see fasting. All throughout church history, a lot of our church fathers practiced fasting. And so what were they doing? When people are fasting, what are they doing it for? Well, fasting has a lot of, there's a lot of reasons why we would fast, but there's a general primary reason why we would fast, and it's this: to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. To starve the flesh and feed the spirit. Now, in my life, as I've gone about practicing fasting, I've just thought it's been about starving myself, about not eating, and somehow that's supposed to do something. Well, no, if it's just about not eating, well, then it's not going to accomplish its goal. Well, it may accomplish its goal, but that's not really what God has in mind for fasting. You know, when I fasted, I thought, this is so bizarre. Who invented fasting? Who made fasting? Who created this? And as I've studied Scripture, as I've even done research for the sermon this week, it's become clear to me, God invented fasting. This is something that God gave us as a gift, as a way to experience Him more and more. And it's meant for the sake of starving our flesh and feeding our spirit. Now, what is the flesh? Now, the flesh is a word that we see a lot in the New Testament. Paul primarily uses that word flesh. I think when Paul uses the word flesh, he's talking about our bodily appetites. And we have bodily appetites, and hey, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have bodily appetites. The problem is our bodily appetites, according to Paul, are out of control. They're totally out of control. And the problem is we think that the solution for that is right here in my head. If I just learn more, if I just go to church more, if I just read the Bible more, then I can get all of these appetites, all of these desires in the right order. But it's frustrating, right? Because as we keep going to church, as we keep reading scripture, as we keep praying, we find that there's a lot of good that we want to do that, like Paul says, we don't do. And there's a lot of bad that we don't want to do, but we find ourselves doing. And so we find ourselves living in a body of death. And what does Paul say? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what does that mean? It means that the help we need doesn't just come from within us. It comes from outside of us. We need God's help. And so, yes, the first thing that we need is Jesus. But Jesus also gives us practices to train. This is what these rhythms of grace are all about. They're all about training in righteousness. Following Jesus, becoming more obedient to him, is not about trying harder. It's about training. Look at what Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So yes, we have Jesus. God has given us a gift in allowing us to train in righteousness. And as we add these, what's known as spiritual disciplines or holy habits, what we're calling rhythms of grace, into our lives, we're training. We're not saying, okay, I'm just going to try to live obediently. We're saying, okay, I'm going to, just like I would train for a marathon, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and run a marathon. No, I'm going to say, I'm going to train. Over time, I'm going to find myself growing. As I find myself being with Jesus, I'm going to find that I'm becoming more like him, and I'm going to find that I'm doing what Jesus did. So that's what fasting is about. Fasting is for the sake of training through our stomachs, because we think it's all about my head. If I learn more, then I'm going to be obedient. But we find that we need help in our bodies, right? Why does that connection exist? We think. And I never made this connection in my life until I started fasting. I thought my stomach had absolutely nothing to do with my spirit. Like, they are not connected at all. In fact, I thought my body is not connected to my spirit at all. It's all just about what I learn. It's all just about what I believe. But man, give me just 2 hours of sleep, I promise you, I will not be a very loving person. I promise you, I will not be a loving person. We find that God has given us bodies, and they are a gift. And we find that Paul says, yes, the flesh can be a hindrance in our walk with Jesus, but fasting is a way to turn our body into an aid in our walk with Jesus. That's bizarre. But that's why it's a gift that he's given us. Now, the problem is that we tend to not find ourselves so much starving the flesh and feeding the spirit. We tend to find ourselves starving the spirit and feeding the flesh. Okay, I'll go spend time with God wherever I can find it. And it kind of falls on the wayside. But I will never miss a meal. I would never miss a meal. And when I eat, it has to be just until I'm just, ugh, can't eat anymore. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with eating. Do you remember last week when we talked about the Sabbath? And I said, this is not anti-work. This is a proper view of work. Well, fasting is not anti-eating. It's a proper view of eating. To see that God, everything God has given us is a gift to us, including food. But like Jesus said, I did not realize this until I started fasting. Jesus said, the body is more than food, right? Or wait, what did he say? I think I'm getting it wrong. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. But, you know, until I started fasting, I don't think I really truly believed that life is more than food. Because I was living from craving to craving to craving. And you know what? I realized, man, this is weird. I crave food. I give into that craving all the time. And then when my spirit craves something that's opposed to love, that's opposed to the way of Jesus, I cannot say no to it. Well, yeah, because I've constantly been saying yes to my cravings through my stomach, and never learn to say no, and therefore I don't have any control when it comes to my spirit. When there is something that I know, like for instance, one thing that I've found helpful, when I have mentored, not mentored, but come alongside young adults, it's typically been, you know, appropriately with men. You know, I'm in groups with young men, and they will tell me, you know, Cody, I'm having a problem with lust. I can't stop looking at women in a way that's healthy. And so one thing I'll say to them is, okay, have you ever tried fasting before? And I'll say, what does that have to do with anything? And I'll say, well, let's try it together. Let's practice it together. And you'll see that they are connected. You'll see that it's not a one-to-one connection. It's not like, hey, practice fasting and then you'll be perfect. There's so much more that goes into it. But I want you to see that we have a tendency to starve our spirit and feed our flesh, and we find that our desires are all over the place, out of control. But God has given us a gift through fasting to learn more and more to starve our flesh. Not because we hate our flesh, but because we're learning to say no to our stomach. Our stomach is like a little child demanding that it gets what it wants all the time. Through fasting, we're saying, no, no, you're not the boss. You're not in control. And as we do that, we find more and more we're able to say to our flesh, no, no, you're not in control. We're not just starving the flesh, we're also feeding the spirit. Fasting is not just, I'm not eating. Fasting is, I'm turning my attention to another direction. I'm placing my focus on Jesus. So it's not that I can't eat without thinking about Jesus. It's just that, man, when you're fasting, when you're giving up food for an amount of time, it's kind of hard to ignore that throughout the day. Like, man, I'm hungry. Why am I doing this? Oh, because I want to focus on Jesus. I want to turn my eyes off food for a while and turn my eyes onto Jesus. Now, fasting does not give us Jesus. It's just an aid that God has given us to turn our eyes onto Jesus. It's like if you're at the beach and you were looking at your phone constantly, and I said, hey, just put your phone down for a little bit and just focus your mind and your attention on the beach in front of you. Does putting your phone down give you the beach in front of you? No, it just helps you to see what's in front of you. Fasting is for the same purpose, to help you place your eyes on Jesus. Not that you can't focus on Jesus without fasting, but it's an aid, it's a tool to turn our mind, to turn our attention onto Jesus and his attention upon us. Now, okay, fasting. Why do we fast? Starve the flesh, to feed the spirit. We struggle with that. Why? Because we have a tendency to starve the spirit and feed the flesh. That's what we typically find our lives looking like. Now, in our passage today, Jesus addresses the heart of fasting. He says in verse 16, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. So who is Jesus talking about? Jesus uses that word, hypocrites. It basically means to be a pretender. We talked in the past about how that word is the word they would use for a Greek actor who was acting. It would be a hypocrite. And Jesus says, don't be like the pretenders. Don't be like the actors. When they fast, they put ashes on their face, not out of a heart of just grieving. We know throughout Scripture, people legitimately put ashes and wore sackcloth, like I think Daniel did that. But Jesus said, hey, when you fast, don't make a public show of it. Don't disfigure your face and, according to him, look gloomy. Not because it's not hard. Anybody who's fasted knows that it's a challenge. But Jesus said, don't do that because, like the hypocrites, when you do that, we have a tendency to do it for the sake of attention. I'm fasting. I'm giving up food. Everybody has to know this. Why? So that everybody can see how holy I am. Everybody can see how good I am. Everybody can see how much I love God. And Jesus says, When you do that, in his words, you've received your reward. Why? Because when you do that, Jesus says, you are not feeding the spirit. What are you feeding? The flesh. We have this desire. Notice me. Pay attention to me. Look at me. And Jesus says, hey, if that's your heart behind fasting, you're going to miss out on the point of fasting. The point of fasting is to starve the flesh. Now, if you give up food, that's great. But if you do it just for the sake of, hey, look at me, well, hey, you are going to starve the spirit and feed the flesh. Jesus says fasting is not something that we brag about. He's not saying we can't practice it together. Fasting was commonly practiced in groups. Actually, in the law, on the Day of Atonement, the whole people of Israel would fast for one day to express their grief and their sorrow of their sins. Now, we don't practice the Day of Atonement anymore because we've already received our atonement through Jesus. But Jesus is not saying we can't practice this together. He's saying, he's addressing the heart of it. When you do this, feed your spirit on God. But we have a tendency to turn it into a feeding of our flesh. But look at what Jesus says. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. How many of you have anointed your head before? Probably not many of you. Jesus, look, in today's language, Jesus would be saying, hey, comb your hair and wash your face. When they poured anointing oil on their head, it would kind of give them an ability to comb their hair. When people fasted, and what Jesus called the hypocrites, when they fasted, they would grow their hair out long, grow their beard out long, and not just grow it long, but they would let it just go wild so that everybody could see it. And Jesus said, no, no, no. When you fast, this is not about being noticed. That's going to feed your flesh. When you fast, anoint your head with oil, comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face, take a shower, just go about your day like normal. What? Yeah, just go about your day like normal. And your Father, who sees what you are doing in secret, will reward you. What is that reward? Well, he doesn't say what the reward is. But we don't do this so much of, hey, I'm doing this for Jesus to give me something. Look, if our goal with fasting is to feed our spirits, what's the reward of that? Jesus says, if that's your goal, then that's the reward that your Father will give you. Jesus said, blessed are all those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Fasting is a way for us to turn our bodies into a prayer of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Of saying, God, I desperately want you. I desperately want to experience you. Now, fasting doesn't give us Jesus. It just helps us to turn our attention to his love and his care for us. And Jesus says, if that's the goal you have with fasting, then you will be rewarded by your Father in that way. But the goal is to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. And so that's what you can do. That's the gift that's been extended to you by God. Now, what does that look like to you? Well, that primarily looks exactly the way that Amanda described it in that amazing children's lesson. We tend to think of fasting as just don't eat, just don't eat, just don't eat. That doesn't tend to work because we don't know what our goal is. We don't know what we're doing this for. Rather than just saying, I'm not eating, I would advise you to use the replacement principle. It's not that I'm not eating. It's that I'm replacing my mealtime with prayer time. Is that a helpful way for you to understand fasting? That's what fasting is meant to do. It's not that you can't pray while eating a meal. And it's not that you can't pray unless you're fasting. But fasting is saying, hey, I'm going to give up a mealtime or more than one mealtime as I feel led by God to turn my body in its direction and its attention towards God. And I don't know how that works. I wish I could give you the science behind it. And I wish I could say, as you fast, you'll have these beautiful, ecstatic experiences. Sometimes when you fast, you will feel those feelings. But a lot of times, you'll start to see, in my experience, you start to see when you're fasting what is actually controlling you. I have experiences of fasting and just feeling intense sadness and sorrow and just saying, I want to eat. I want to get rid of this feeling. And I've realized, oh, wow, I use food to mask how I'm feeling, to mask sadness. I have a tendency to turn immediately towards food to kind of mask the pain that I'm feeling. And so fasting helps us to see what it is we typically turn to. It helps us to see what we're leaning on and depending on. It's not always going to necessarily show us those things, but it has a tendency to do that. At least it has for me. Sometimes you'll feel incredible joy as you're fasting. Sometimes I'm fasting and I think, oh man, like I feel so good. And as I'm walking outside and fasting and just praying to the Lord, I'm like, man, I'm just experiencing such deep closeness and intimacy. Wow, this is beautiful. This is amazing. I do not know what you're going to experience when you fast, if you fast. But the problem with sermons is we tend to just kind of leave them there on Sunday morning. You will not actually understand what Jesus is talking about here until you try it for yourself. Now, I know that some of you cannot practice fasting. Some of you have medical conditions. You know, you may have a heart problem. You may be an expectant mother. You may be a diabetic like myself. Fasting is challenging for me. Whatever the case is, if you feel like God is leading you to try fasting, I would recommend just go to your doctor, like I've gone to my specialist, and just say, hey, I want to do this. How can I do this? Can I do this? You know, I've been given instructions by my endocrinologist on how to fast as a diabetic. But there have been times that I'm fasting, I'm feeling good, I check my blood sugar. Oh man, it's too low. Okay, time to break the fast. Am I bummed about that? Yes. Am I sad about that? Yes. Do I want to dive into fasting more and more beyond what my body will let me? Yes, I do, but that's just where I am. And that's okay. Look, God's not saying, I'll love Cody when he fasts for 3 days. God will not love you anymore if you never, ever fast. He will not love you anymore if you fast one day each week for the rest of your life. His love for you will always be the same. The Psalms say, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for us. You know, when we fast, no. It just says, it's there. His love is already that great for us. So having said that, fasting is a practice of giving up food, and I know some of you can't give up food. That's okay. Jesus addressed the heart of fasting. He said it's not so much about giving food, but it's a heart and a desire to seek the Lord. And just like you said, Amanda, for children, I would not recommend fasting for children. But we learn throughout Scripture that there's something called abstinence. A lot of people practice abstinence during Lent. We say, well, I'm giving up Facebook. I'm giving up soda. I'm giving up this or that. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul told husbands and wives, he said, you know, care for each other sexually. You know, don't demand sex from each other, but also don't withhold it from each other. Don't use it as a weapon against each other. Instead, hey, if you do choose to not engage in that together, you know, take times to be abstinent from sex in order to devote yourselves to what? To prayer. So we see that Paul says, hey, there are other forms of fasting not related to food. We don't call them fasting. We call that abstinence. But you can still practice abstinence. Or if you can't eat, if you can't miss out on a meal, maybe you can say, today I'm eating a lighter portion. I don't know. I can't decide this for you. But I can give you some instructions. I can give you some ideas to show you that this is not an all or nothing thing like we tend to think it is. Either I fast for a whole day or I don't fast. No. In Scripture, we see so many forms of fasting. We see the absolute fast, which Moses practiced when he went without food and water. We see what's called the normal fast, which we see Jesus practicing in the wilderness when he gives up both food and water for a period of time, for 40 days. I would definitely not recommend you start there. But Jesus practiced fasting. We see him practicing the normal fast. And we have something that's called the partial fast, which we see Daniel practicing near the end of the book of Daniel. Daniel says that, you know, I wanted to seek the Lord. I was grieving for the sins of my people. And I expressed that by going without meat and wine for a period of time. I denied myself certain luxurious foods for a certain amount of time. And so really, we have this gift, this ability, where you can replace a mealtime with prayer time. And man, there are some great sources, resources out there if you want to learn more about this. The book Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, man, he just goes through not just fasting, but all of these different spiritual disciplines like we've been talking about. But one book that I just loved, I wasn't able to read all of it this week, but I read most of it, and it was so helpful. It's called God's Chosen Fast by Arthur Wallace. It was written in 1968. It's helped so many different believers with the subject of fasting. And if you're wanting to get a little bit more guidance and practicality with what it could look like to fast, I highly recommend God's Chosen Fast by Arthur Wallace. But all you need to know today for you practically as an application is fasting is just that. It's replacing a mealtime with prayer time. And what happens when we do that? What's going to change? Well, you know, we are going to see things change around us. I mean, think about it. Logically, if I spend more and more time that I would have devoted to a meal, spend more time devoted to praying for people, praying for myself, praying for things around me, yes, I do believe you will see God change things around you. But here's what I want you to see more than anything. When we fast, we find that, yes, God changes things around us, but more than anything, God changes things within us. Nothing changes more when you fast than you. That is the reward Jesus is talking about. When you seek the Lord with this heart, maybe you're expressing sorrow over sin. Maybe you're expressing, Lord, help me. I desperately want your help. Man, when you fast, it doesn't mean that you weren't praying and now you're praying before. But man, it acts as such an aid to our prayers, to where we really say, Lord, I'm here. Like if somebody said, hey Cody, I'm praying for you and I'm fasting for you. You know, there are times when it's appropriate to tell someone that, I believe. And if you were to say that, what would that tell me? Like, whoa. Like we have a tendency to tell someone, yeah, I'll pray for you. But if somebody said, okay, I'm going to be fasting and praying for you, doesn't mean they love or care for you anymore. But what I'm trying to show you is fasting has this level of seriousness about it. That we come before God and we say, Lord, I desperately want to know you more, to seek you more, to hunger and thirst after you more, to be changed by you. When we come to God with that heart, how could it not change us from the inside out? That is the gift of fasting that God has given us. But church, fasting changes us. It deeply changes us. My heart behind this sermon, I do not, please hear me, I do not want fasting to become another law, another rule that you have to follow. There is no commandment from Jesus to fast. And yes, fasting has been practiced by believers throughout history. The early church practiced fasting every Wednesday and Friday of each week. You know, I like to choose one day of the week to try to fast, but if I'm not able to that week, it's okay. I don't exist for fasting. Fasting exists for me and my relationship with God. So this is not something you have to do, but this is something that I want you to know is there. And if you're saying, man, I grew up saying, the only thing there is Bible, prayer, and sermons in church, community. Yes, that's great. That's great. But man, we see throughout Scripture, throughout church history, and as we look around to brothers and sisters practicing this practice today, that man, fasting is beautiful. I know it's challenging. I know it's hard. Start where you are. Don't start where you want to be. Unless you feel like God is just explicitly telling you, I want you to fast for 3 days. I highly doubt he is. If you really want to fast, just say, okay, I'm gonna one day this week, I'm gonna give up breakfast. Or maybe one day this week, I'm not gonna drink coffee in the morning. Just start there. And then keep going and keep growing as you experience this with the Lord and as you see what he has for you in this. I do not know what God's going to call you to in fasting. But I know that when God calls us to fasting, he calls us to it for a very specific purpose. And it's to seek after him and to enjoy his loving gaze and attention upon ourselves. Church, this is a gift. This is a gift. And if you're able to, and if you believe like medically you can, just try it. Just try it. Man, this is so incredibly helpful. And fasting at the end of the day is all about Jesus. One time Jesus was approached by John's disciples. I said, hey, we fast. The Pharisees fast. Why don't your disciples fast? Jesus said, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? No, they're at the wedding. They celebrate. But one day the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they'll fast. And so Jesus' disciples did not fast when they were in his presence. But when he ascended into heaven, we do see them start fasting again. I say all that just to say the entire point of fasting is Jesus. Fasting does not give us Jesus. It's just a way of us expressing, Lord Jesus, come. Come into my life. Come into my body. Come into my spirit. Come back. That's what we're asking. We're turning our bodies into a prayer through fasting. And one day we'll have Jesus right here physically with us. Right now we just express that longing, that deep longing to be with him in that way. And so we can do that through many different ways, but one of them is fasting. And when you fast, like Jesus said, your Father who sees what you do in secret, it'll be very precious to him. It'll be very precious to him if that's your heart for him. And if that's not your heart, just ask for that heart. Lord, give me a heart. Help me to come to fasting with the right heart to experience all that you have for me in it. Church, let's pray. Oh, Lord, it feels like there's still so much more to say about fasting. And yet, fasting has been so heavily abused by leaders who have forced it. Lord, it's just such a gift to be received. And even though we see the Ninevites calling a fast, even though we see your people calling fast, and we don't want it to become, Lord, to where church members are saying, hey, you better fast, you have to fast. Lord, this is something you've called us to just encourage each other in. To say, I'm here for you as you fast. I'm praying for you as you fast. I want to grow in this. I want to learn about this. So Lord, help us to take that heart that you've taught us about in fasting, into fasting. Lord, help us to not let this become another law. We know that anything, even scripture, even prayer can be twisted and abused. But also, Lord, we don't want to go to the other extreme to where we totally avoid scripture because it can be abused, totally avoid prayer because it can be abused, or we don't want to totally avoid fasting either, but we want to find the Jesus way of fasting. Lord, you do not relish in our suffering. That's not what fasting is about. But you delight in us turning our bodies towards you and making our bodies into a prayer of longing for you. So help us, Lord, to do just that. Lord, thank you. Teach us through fasting and through abstinence what it is you want to show us through it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.